In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. We're looking at 2 Samuel 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, can you imagine? And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwells between the cherubim. Okay, let me just tell you that the Ark of the Covenant was not God. God dwelt over the wings of the cherubim that were over the Ark. The Ark is a piece of furniture, but God dwelled above the wings of the angels. Like if you put your two hands together like a V, you can see where the wings touched. That would be the place where God dwelt. God dwelt there, and they set the Ark of God upon a new cart. That's a problem. That's a problem. They set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio were the sons of Abinadab. They drove the new cart. This is a problem. This is a problem. If you want to carry the Ark of the Covenant where God dwells above the wings of the cherubim, you need priests to do it. You don't put it on a cart. No matter if the cart is made of gold, you need the priests to do it. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. He went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and coronets and cymbals. I tell you, God loves to be worshipped. And that's what they were doing. They were worshipping God as the Ark was being brought into Jerusalem. That's where they want to bring the Ark into. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the Ark of God. Only the priests are allowed to touch the Ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid. He was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the Ark of the Lord come to me?" You see, David wants to bring the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. David wants Jerusalem to be the only place where God is worshipped. That means he wants to close all the other sanctuaries like Shiloh and all the other sanctuaries that existed, and that there would be one major sanctuary that would be in Jerusalem. That would be in Jerusalem. So David would not remove the Ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. I wonder what he had against Obed-Edom the Gittite. That Obed-Edom the Gittite lived in the hill country of Judah. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now let me just ask you, what is the blessing? Did he win the megabucks? No, that's not the blessing. Did he get an inheritance from his father? No, that's not the blessing. The blessing for Jewish people in the Bible were children. Obed-Edom's wife became pregnant. This is the blessing. And so now David sees that Mrs. Obed-Edom is pregnant. He wants to get the ark into Jerusalem. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him, because the ark of God was there." So David went up and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. How long did that ark stay in the house of Obed-Edom? 3 months. And it was so that they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod. Oh my gosh, this is the king. Making merry, dancing before the Lord. People are looking out their windows. People are saying, "This is the king. Look how foolish he is." So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. You see, I tell you that we worship with our mouths, we worship with our hands, and we worship with our feet. I tell you, we worship with instruments, we worship with guitars, we worship with pianos, we worship with organs, we worship with trumpets, we worship every way we can worship. God loves to be worshiped. God loves to be worshiped. And David knew this. David knew that the Lord loved to be worshiped. And he is before the Lord dancing and jumping and singing and praising God. But not only he, but all the people there are praising God as they want to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. You know, people are still like that, saying, "You dance in church? You dance in church, that's not good." I'm telling you, dancing in church is fine as long as the people know that it's worship. I'm not saying that people should wear terrible clothes. I'm saying they should be well covered, but dancing before the Lord is what the Lord wants. Dancing and singing and praising God. Dancing and singing and praising God. God abides in the presence of the praises. God lives in the presence of the praises. I tell you, we do not praise God enough. We do not praise God enough. That's why we say speak in tongues at least 5-10 minutes a day. I need to get back to that. And you need to get back to that. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched. So the ark of the Lord comes and sits where David pitched the tent. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of an offering and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women and men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of meat and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his own house. Was there a multiplication of food because of the worship? I don't know. How did he get all that food to feed those thousands and thousands of people? Was there a multiplication? I don't know. But I do know this, they all ate and drank and went to the house. They celebrated that the ark was being brought to the place where David pitched the tent. They were all glad. You know, as they went from the hill country of Judah through the walls of Jerusalem, you know, the the different gates of Jerusalem, I could hear the angel saying, "Lift up your heads, O ye lintels, and be thou lifted up, that the King of glory may enter in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. "Lift up your gates, O ye lintels, and be thou lifted up, that the King of glory may enter in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in power. "Lift up your gates, Jerusalem, and be thou lifted up, that the King of glory may enter in." Yes, the King of glory was entering in through the walls of Jerusalem, or through the gates of Jerusalem. That's what's happened. We get that 24th Psalm. Where do you think it comes from? It comes from David, who talking about bringing the ark into Jerusalem through the wall, not the walls, but through the gates of Jerusalem. "Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the King of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of his handmaids and of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself.' And David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord which chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus. I will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor.' Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death." You see, blessings had to do with children. Blessings had to do with children. Because Michal despised David in her heart, despised the worship service in her heart, Michal would not be pregnant, would not be pregnant. I'm telling you, the gift of God happens to be children. And we, as people, have limited our children. We want one or two. We want one or two, maybe three if we're generous. I'm telling you, if I offered you $1 million and I said, "I can give you $1 million or $2 million, which would you take? I'm sure you'd take the $2 million. If I offered you $3 million or $4 million and I said to you, "You can take the three or the four," what would you take? The four, of course. Well, each child is worth more than $1 million. Each child is worth the blood of Jesus. Each child is worth the blood of Jesus. I'm looking now at Luke 2. And it's about Mary and Elizabeth. "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah." That's exactly where the Ark of the Covenant rested, in Obed-Edom's house. "And entered into the house of Zechariah, and Mary saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of our Mary, the baby leapt in her womb." Just like David danced before the Lord, the baby dances in the womb of Elizabeth. "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy." Dance, just like David. Just like David. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So let's look at the sixth chapter of Samuel, 2 Samuel, and let's see if this relates to the second chapter the first chapter of Luke. First of all, the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into Jerusalem. Because the priests were not carrying it, Uzzah died, and they brought the Ark to the hill country of Judah, and it remained there 3 months. Mary, remained in the hill country of Judah for 3 months. Remember, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. The sixth month of what? Of the pregnancy of John the Baptist. So Mary stays there 3 months until the baby is born. David dances before the Lord, and the baby dances before the Lord. Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. She holds the presence of God in her womb. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Oh, yes. Blessed is the fruit of the womb of our Blessed Mother. Why? Because the Son of God, by the Holy Spirit, came to live in the Ark of the Covenant. You know what? When we receive Holy Communion, we are the Ark of the Covenant. And not only Holy Communion, if we are Christians and the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, we are the Ark of the Covenant. We have within us the gift of God. Jesus breathed into the apostles, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Jesus said that. And when Jesus said that, Jesus meant that. Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. Not only is our Blessed Mother the Ark of the Covenant, but when we receive the Eucharist, we are the Ark of the Covenant also. But not only the Eucharist, when we are out in front of the abortion mill and we are praying, we have the body, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we praise God, we are the Ark of the Covenant because God dwells within the hearts of believers today. God doesn't dwell above the wings of the cherubim. God dwells in the hearts of believers today. Yes, God dwells in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. And many tabernacles have two angels with their wings touching to say, this is the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant is much. Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is within her womb. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is God. Mary stayed in the hill country of Judah 3 months, just as long as the ark stayed in the house of Obed-Edom 3 months. Mary, when she saw Elizabeth, the baby started jumping within her womb. People say this is the first time she felt life. Well, the baby was dancing, and David danced before the Lord. So we have this connection between the old and the new. The old is the shadow and the new is the substance. And not many people know this, and I love to speak about it because not many people know this. Does that mean that Mary is God? Absolutely not. Mary is not God. If I am the Ark of the Covenant, does that mean I'm God? No. The power of God dwells within me. I'm not God. I am a servant of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was not God. It was the place where God dwelt. Remember what David wants to do. He wants to close all these shrines and that in Jerusalem only would people rejoice in the Lord. In Jerusalem only would people come and sing praises to the Lord. I tell you, there was 24-hour worship in Jerusalem as the Lord was placed in the tent where David had pitched it. 24 hours of worship, night and day. Why? Because the Lord loves worship. He loves to be worshipped. What do you think the saints and angels are doing today? They're not playing Pocino. They're worshiping God. What happens at Mass? We worship God with the angels. We worship God with the saints. Whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, all the angels and saints are present before us, whether we know it or not. We are joining them, and they join us. When people say, I lost my husband, and I'm very sad. The closest you can be to your husband is at Mass, because where Jesus is, there his saints are. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, all the saints and angels fill the place where the Eucharist is being celebrated. This is reality. This is reality. David was a worshiper. He worshiped in song. He worshiped not only in song, but he worshiped in song, and he worshiped with timbrels and cymbals and all those things that David worshiped with. He worshiped with all the people of God. What we need is that people would worship God, that we would have worship services. You people ask me, why is it that at Holy Rosary so many things happen? Because it is a place of worship. My house shall be called the house of worship. It is a place where people come to worship God, celebrating the Eucharist, singing psalms and songs to the Lord, playing instruments for the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That's why that lady who was sick saw Jesus. Oh, yes, she saw Jesus. And she was so convinced that she said to her sister, "Did you see him? Did you see him?" Her sister said, "See who? Did you see Jesus? Did you see Jesus? He was here and he was beautiful. He was beautiful. He wasn't on the cross, but he had the crown of thorns on him. But he was beautiful, the most handsome person I've ever seen." My friends, worship God. Worship God. Worship God. Worship God. Worship God. The light of Christ has come into the world. The light of Christ has come into the world. All men must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The water and the Spirit brings new life in Christ Jesus. The light of God has come into the world. The light of God has come into the world. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, heal us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Yes, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his love has made me whole. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. How I love you in my soul. For I have touched the hem of your garment, and your love has made me whole. Jesus, Son of God, as we worship you and as we worship the Father, I pray that your healing presence would be upon your people. I pray that eyes would be healed now in the name of Jesus through the power of the blood. I pray that necks would be healed now and backs through the power of the blood of Jesus. I pray that limbs would be healed now, legs that are shorter than another would come out, and there'd be no more back injury in the name of Jesus through the power of the blood. I pray for lungs for that little girl that waits to get lung. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would give her a lung, that you would give her a lung either miraculously or through somebody else. I pray for a lung for that child. Please, Lord, please, Lord, I pray for the healing of blood diseases, especially for my brother, a healing of blood diseases, of leukemia, of all blood diseases, be healed in the name of Jesus. Just remember, David loved to worship God. Remember, David brought God's presence to this tent where there would be 24-hour worship. I thank God for Eucharistic chapels that worship the Lord 24 hours, 7 days a week. I thank God for our little church that worships God in spirit and in truth through the Eucharist, through singing, through praising, through dancing. I thank God that God has opened for us his presence in our little church. And I pray that many churches would be filled with the presence of God, even to this day, through Christ our Lord. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.